Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 16, How to Use Ketamine in the Critical Care Setting. If you find this podcast helpful, please tell a friend or colleague, or go to pharmacyjoe.com/iTunes to leave a review. You can find the show notes for today's episode at pharmacyjoe.com/episode 16. Before we get into today's content, I'd like to share with you an idea I have to improve pharmacists' ability to collaborate and communicate about patient care. I have created a free group for Pharmacy Nation on Slack.com. Slack is a cross-platform messaging app for groups of people. It can be accessed on any phone, tablet, or computer, and people can communicate and collaborate in real time with each other. I've done something similar to this at my current hospital, where I have all the pharmacists and residents in a group messaging app, and it works very well. But I think this will be amazing, as we have the opportunity to connect pharmacists around the world with each other. 20 pharmacists across 5 time zones and 3 countries have already joined the Pharmacy Nation Slack group. We've discussed things like extended infusion cefepime, ketamine, cystic fibrosis, IV push TPA for pulmonary embolism. Several channels for conversations have been created: cardiology, critical care and emergency medicine, hematology oncology, infectious disease, leadership, mental health, and pediatrics, and more will be created with community input. There is no cost to joining this group, and you can invite anyone you think might find it valuable. To send yourself an invitation to the group, go to pharmacynation.org. I hope to see you there, Pharmacy Nation. And now we'll discuss how to use ketamine in the critical care setting. There is a lot of buzz around the use of ketamine in the critical care setting, and for good reason. It's a great drug, but a lot of providers are unfamiliar with and hesitant to use the drug. In this episode, I'll highlight the key points that set ketamine apart from other sedatives and analgesics, and discuss how to use ketamine in the critical care setting. Let's start by answering, what is ketamine? Ketamine is a non-competitive NMDA receptor antagonist that produces analgesia and dissociative anesthesia. But what makes ketamine different from other sedatives and analgesics that we use in critical care? Ketamine's analgesic effect is dose-dependent in the same manner as opioid analgesics. Give a little bit more ketamine, get a little more pain relief, just like fentanyl. What sets ketamine apart is how it produces anesthesia or amnesia. Ketamine causes disassociation of the cortex and limbic systems, with the result that the patient cannot perceive the surrounding environment. The key difference between ketamine and other agents, such as etomidate, midazolam, propofol, is that this dissociative state does not exist on a continuum. It is either on or off. I think of it like pregnancy. Just like you can't be a little bit pregnant, you can't be a little bit dissociated. When using ketamine as a sedative, it is critical to keep in mind its on-off nature for dissociative anesthesia. So let's take a look at, what effects does ketamine produce besides analgesia and dissociative anesthesia? First, the respiratory system. Ketamine does not suppress respirations unless it's given too rapidly IV push. I suggested be given over 1 minute. Complications seem to be when ketamine is given over less than 30 seconds. Rarely, ketamine may cause laryngeal spasms. Ketamine increases airway secretions, and ketamine causes bronchodilation. On the cardiovascular side, ketamine causes the release of endogenous catecholamines. This means in most patients, ketamine has a neutral to positive effect on the cardiovascular system. Expect at most a few points increase on the systolic blood pressure and heart rate. However, if the patient is catecholamine depleted, such as in a prolonged severe illness like sepsis, ketamine may paradoxically cause hemodynamic collapse. In the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode16, I've got some articles linked up, and one of them points to a couple case reports of ketamine causing a cardiac arrest in this scenario. I personally have never had this happen to any of my patients, but it is something that's reported. Now, as far as neurological effects, the biggest one to keep in mind is an emergence phenomena may occur as the ketamine wears off. This is more common in adult patients. The patient may experience vivid dreams and be extremely agitated as they come out of sedation from ketamine. IV midazolam can be used to treat or prevent this effect. When used at sub-anesthetic doses, some patients report feeling just weird, and this feeling can cause anxiety in the patient. Ketamine carries a warning for use in the setting of elevated intracranial pressure. There is evidence that suggests any effects on intracranial pressure are not of consequence to the patient, and the authors of Rosen's Emergency Medicine and other tertiary drug references like UpToDate do not consider ketamine contraindicated in this state. And finally, the musculoskeletal effects. Hypertonic movements resembling seizures may occur, but you can be assured ketamine is not causing a seizure in the patient. So what absolute contraindications does ketamine have? The official contraindications to ketamine are allergy and any condition in which an increase in blood pressure would be hazardous. However, there's an excellent review of ketamine that actually is an American College of Emergency Physicians clinical practice guideline. I've got it linked up in the show notes. And they add age less than 3 months because of increased airway complications, although they admit this is anecdotal, and schizophrenia, because ketamine may exacerbate this condition, as absolute contraindications to ketamine use. So let's move on and talk about how we can use ketamine in a critical care setting. I've got 5 different indications that we're going to talk about. The first is induction as an induction agent for intubation. Number 2, for procedural sedation. Number 3, as a rescue analgesic. Number 4, for status epilepticus. And number 5, for status asthmaticus. So the first indication, using ketamine as an induction agent for intubation. You got to make sure in this setting that you give enough ketamine to dissociate the patient. So for this indication, I use my go big or go home dosing strategy. The recommended dose range is 1 to 2 milligrams per kilo IV. Now, I couldn't find anything good in adults, but I did come across a pediatric study that showed 95% of patients were adequately dissociated with 1.5 milligrams per kilo. So I never go below this dose for induction purposes. Ketamine has a nice 30-second onset and a 10 to 15-minute duration when given IV at this dose for induction. All patients induced with ketamine should receive midazolam. I would suggest 0.05 milligrams per kilo IV after the airway is in, but before the 10 to 15-minute duration is up. As far as using ketamine for procedural sedation, the same 1.5 milligram per kilo IV dose can be given for this indication, or because unlike with intubation, onset may not be as important, ketamine can be used IM at a dose of 4 to 5 milligrams per kilo here. Airway reflexes will remain intact, so this can be a great drug for procedures. Have at least 2 milligrams of midazolam in the room, especially with an adult patient, in case emergence phenomena occurs. Now, you may have heard about using ketofol for deep sedation procedures. This involves mixing propofol and ketamine, often in the same syringe, in varying proportions. The ketamine doses are always sub-dissociative, and so this practice amounts to essentially using propofol and fentanyl. There have been some interesting pro versus con debates in Annals of Emergency Medicine on this topic. I've got those linked up in the show notes. I am firmly on the side of it being ridiculously foolish to place 2 drugs with different effects and durations in the same syringe. What if you just need a little more analgesia? You're forced, in this case, to give propofol to achieve that goal if the drugs are in the same syringe. Now on to our third indication, ketamine as a rescue analgesic. I've had a few patients benefit from ketamine for rescue analgesia. In these patients, I've used an infusion without a bolus. I start at 0.1 milligrams per kilo per hour and increase every 30 minutes to a max of either 0.4 or 0.5 milligrams per kilo per hour. The key here is to keep the dose below dissociative levels. Now, one of the patients I used this on had lost IV access, and so we converted him to oral ketamine at 0.5 milligrams per kilo every 6 hours. Now, oral ketamine is very bitter, so do your best if using it this way to mask the taste, using cherry syrup or whatever you have at hand. Some people give ketamine as a bolus for pain at either 0.15 or 0.3 milligrams per kilo IV. This is probably only reasonable in patients who have a high risk of respiratory depression from opioids or for some other reason just cannot receive opioids. The 0.3 milligram per kilo dose is probably more effective, but seems to come with more side effects. Now, using ketamine for continuous sedation, I've never used ketamine for this indication, although we have come close a couple of times at my hospital. I feel data is very limited for this indication, so that makes this a last line option, in my opinion. One study was actually a case series of a few patients linked up in the show notes, had the median duration of the infusion at just 1.5 days, and the dose was all over the place. The dose range for these patients was anywhere from 0.3 to 2.8 milligrams per kilo per hour. Now, if I ever have to use the ketamine for continuous sedation, I will be starting with a 1.5 milligram per kilo IV bolus and a 1 milligram per kilo per hour infusion and titrating from there. The next indication, status epilepticus. Ketamine is an option for refractory status epilepticus. This is another time for the go big or go home dosing strategy. I'd try at least 2 milligrams per kilo IV bolus, followed by at least 2 milligrams per kilo per hour infusion. One review had loading doses at 1.5 milligrams per kilo as the median dose, 5 milligrams per kilo as the max dose, and infusion rates at 1 milligram per kilo per hour as the minimum threshold of effectiveness, 2.75 milligrams per kilo per hour as the median continuous infusion rate, and 10 milligrams per kilo per hour as the maximum infusion rate in status epilepticus. And you can get that evidence by clicking on the link in the show notes right under status epilepticus. Now, for status asthmaticus, there's limited data for using ketamine for this indication. The ketamine-induced catecholamine release and possibly ketamine itself have bronchodilatory effects that may help in a severe asthma exacerbation. For this, give a one-time bolus of 0.75 milligrams per kilo IV, followed by a continuous infusion of 0.75 milligrams per kilo per hour. Now, that is right on the cusp of crossing over into a dissociative dose. So if your patient does not have their airway protected, you may not want to use doses that high. You may want to lower them just a bit. One thing you may be wondering is, if you're using a continuous infusion of ketamine, how should you monitor it? Now, I like Chris Passero's recommended monitoring frequency, and that is after each dose change, vitals and neurostatus are checked every 15 minutes times 4, then every 2 hours times 2, and then every 4 hours after that. I'd love to hear from you, Pharmacy Nation. How have you used ketamine in your practice? Send me an email to joe@pharmacyjoe.com or tweet using the hashtag RxJ16. And thank you so much for your iTunes reviews. Your written iTunes reviews encourage me and they help other people find the podcast. If you appreciate the pharmacy information I share, please write your own review on iTunes by heading to pharmacyjoe.com/iTunes. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.